I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let us pray. Lord, may the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you this day. Amen. Amen. The week was advertised as the Arts, Recreation, and Worship Conference. As a newly ordained minister whose job it was to work directly with youth and young adults, it was practically expected for me to attend. And really, it should have sounded like heaven for an extrovert. A week of learning icebreakers, playing games, and being with other clergy who would probably feel more comfortable talking about theology over a game of Foursquare rather than from a pulpit. The music swelled as I settled into my seat for the welcome gathering, the hum of the room building as my fellow clergy members shouted in recognition of old friends, traded inside jokes and references I could not keep up with. As the conference got underway, I couldn't ignore it. Everyone was kind. All the games were inclusive. But this conference was a bit of a club that I, as a newbie, was not a part of. I'm sure all of us have at some point or another experienced the uncomfortable feeling of being in a situation where you feel you don't belong. That yearning for acceptance can show up when we're faced with new groups of people or situations, but also in places where we might hope that acceptance would be a given. Maybe you have found yourself, especially around the holidays, gathered with members of your family and struggled to find common ground for conversation, or tiptoeing around certain subjects, nervous to say the wrong thing. You may be bewildered, thinking something like, "How on earth did I come from these people?" On the other hand, you might have some new traditions. Spending time with close friends or specific members of your family that provide you with the space to breathe deep, relax your shoulders, and be present without reservations, to feel completely accepted. At the heart of it, both our gospel from Matthew and Paul's letter to the Romans are texts that center on the concept of acceptance. In Matthew's gospel, the scene is set with the solitary figure of John the Baptist appearing in the wilderness, with people traveling out to the literal margins of society to hear him speak and to be baptized. Take a moment and ask yourself, when in your faith have you felt called out of your comfort zone? Found yourself with people you may not know, but experiencing something holy, yearning to be a part of something bigger than you. And here, in this beautiful moment, come the Pharisees and the Sadducees to also be baptized when John stops them, calling them a brood of vipers, stating he will baptize them with repentance. But one who is more powerful is coming, who will baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We can imagine the Pharisees and Sadducees packing their belongings, setting out on the road to the wilderness to find the one called John the Baptist, yearning to hear his teaching and be baptized into this new covenant. But instead of being met with open arms, John, almost begrudgingly, says he'll baptize them, but to be prepared for the next guy, who will really make the decision on if they are in or out. Upon first reading, I think most of us would hope and say that we identify with the other believers gathered that day, ready and yearning for the coming Christ. But if we sit for a moment, we may resonate a little with those Sadducees and those Pharisees, yearning for acceptance and being told they still may not be the right kind of believer, that the welcome of their presence is conditional until further notice. Throughout Scripture, and throughout all of the Old Testament, the prophets and the Psalms, the Gospels and the letters, there is evidence of an intrinsic relationship between faith and acceptance. In our search for faith, we seek guidance, we seek understanding, we seek acceptance of ourselves and acceptance of the world around us. So what happens to those of us that may feel like those Sadducees and Pharisees when we're faced with the fear that we may not be enough, when we struggle to even accept ourselves? How can we expect to love one another, to love God, if we cannot love and accept ourselves? This leads us a little closer to our second text, Paul's letter to the Romans. It feels like a much more comfortable reading for Advent 2. Paul writes, "May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That sure sounds like a message of acceptance, faith, and love, does it not? So my question for us today is, how can we use acceptance, faith, and love to get to that place of harmony with one another that Paul writes about? As a Presbyterian, you have to forgive me, but we love history and doing some deep dives. So get comfortable. Here's your little history for the day. You can laugh, it's okay. In the 11th century, an abbot by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux wrote that there are 4 degrees of love. Number 1, love of ourselves for our sake. Number 2, love of God for our own sake. Number 3, love of God for God's sake. And number 4, love of ourselves for the sake of God. I want us to take a look at this a little bit closer, and I promise there will not be a quiz after, unless you want one, in which case I have provided one. Degree number 1, love of ourselves for our sake. Loving and accepting ourselves allows us to acknowledge the good and uncomfortable parts of our humanity. We can accept not only our capacity for good, but also accept our faults. Degree number 2, love of God for our own sake. When we accept ourselves fully, letting go of the fear and becoming secure in our own self-love, we are able to believe in a God who can fully love and accept all the parts of us. Our love of God enriches our own love of self. Degree number 3, love of God for God's sake. Our love of God means we are able to see and believe all that God is doing and has done in and for the world. Degree number 4, love of ourselves for the sake of God. After accepting the love of ourselves, accepting the love of God, and accepting the love that God has shown the world, we experience the 4th degree, the love of ourselves for the sake of God. Bernard's final degree of love isn't meant to be a sustainable place. Rather, it shows up in the liminal moments of our lives. The breath we release that we didn't realize we were holding, the first moment of calm after the chaos of grief, a light in the darkness, a jolt of joy that almost seems to suspend you in time. The arrival in the wilderness, searching for baptism into a new covenant. These are moments where we have accepted ourselves, we have accepted God, and accepted God's work in the world, that we are then able to become a part of that work, that we are able to become a part of God's story of a transforming world. Going through this can sound like a lot of work. What do you mean I have to accept myself, all the good and uncomfortable parts? Does this mean if I can't love myself, I am incapable of accepting God? No. In his reflection on this passage from Romans, theologian Patrick Howell wrote, "We are capable of accepting others because Christ has accepted us. Barriers are down. We belong. This is our work. But the hope and joy of Advent and of faith is that wherever we are in the journey, God has already claimed us. God has already accepted you. You only have to be willing to believe and accept that love." I leave you with these words from Paul. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen."